Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 11th of April, recording at 7:59 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here. Asian stock markets mostly steady. China, again, another new high. Hang Seng doing reasonably well. Thailand up on the interest rate cut. But European markets are softer. They were a little up and a little down and so on most of the day, but then a decline on Wall Street helped to drag them lower for the most part. Very small losses. Wall Street, though, has been down 100 on the Dow. It's close to that right now, 10 on the S&P. 22 on the NASDAQ Composite Index. So that's the first sort of crack that we've seen in the almost daily rally since mid-March. And moving on here, government bonds, they are a little bit weaker in here today, particularly the gilts. I'm talking about bond futures now. Did I say gilts? Beg your pardon. It's the euro bunds that have been weaker in here, but they're only down 27 ticks. Looking at other areas, the US dollar is slightly firmer in here today. Remember, it took a beating yesterday. And precious metals, they were strong and then reversed those gains, with silver leading the correction. And it's been another wild day, annoyingly for me in terms of stops, getting up to a high for the May silver of 14.06 and a half, then down to 13.75, where I had a bunch of stops. And what else to mention? Nickel falling back from the 5,000 level in a mixed industrial metal sector. Oil crept up. It was a little bit down, but has moved a little bit higher here today, as has gasoline, which has been so strong overall. Soft commodities, nothing big going on, a little bit mixed in here at the moment. Okay, well, where are we and what's actually taking place here? Well, if I hark back to, all the way back to last Thursday before the Easter break, I posted a lot of charts of, weekly charts these were, of stock market indices, and they showed mostly that a number of markets were moving up and away from those 200-day moving averages once again. In other words, becoming a bit overextended. Whereas I felt that technically, well, I felt that that favored the bulls, obviously, but that technically it would have been a bit healthier if we had seen more sideways, steady sideways activity to correct that overbought condition a little bit more. But it didn't happen. Markets pushed upwards, and I mentioned that was recreating some of the conditions that led to the last sharp reaction. So Wall Street's weakness here today is the first sign that another one of those reactions, and it'll inevitably be different in some respects, it would probably be slower, is likely to occur at some point over the next couple of months. Now, that's nothing to panic about, as the last one wasn't anything to panic about, but perhaps it's not a good idea to be too aggressive in terms of buying activity in here right now. Now, what might be a catalyst if we were to see, if I'm right, and that we do see another sort of largish reaction again, smaller than a medium-term correction, and for the last medium-term correction, look back to last May and June. So what might be the catalyst? Well, last time it was China. It could be China again, and China has psychologically become a bigger influence, I think, unquestionably, than it has been in the past. It could be long-dated government bond yields, but they're not pushing up that much at this stage, so I doubt that, and I doubt that it would be China. It could be the U.S., because we're into the corporate profit season, and I suspect there will be more disappointments than pleasant surprises. Alcoa being the, which reported last night, being the exception. And anything else it could be? There were one or two that had come to mind, but they're eluding me at the moment. But the main thing is that the charts will show us. And I did say that I think that I felt that if we do see another reaction within the next 2 months, and that wouldn't surprise me, that it might well be somewhat different, a little bit slower, but part of the somewhat increased volatility that we have been seeing so far this year. Other than that, I don't think that we have a serious downside risk, although plenty of people do, and that adds somewhat to the volatility. I'm not among them because I don't see the technical evidence here, and I'm not going to tell the market where it's going to go. I'm going to try to operate as the naturalist and just monitor what's actually taking place. So, what else to say? Government bond yields, when we do get that next reaction, we will see those yields come down a little bit. They have pushed up recently as markets have been rallying once again. But I don't think that there's any investment potential in these long-dated government bonds, as you know. I don't like them. So if yields do push up, I maintain the sector's a sell. In terms of precious metals, well, again, volatility here, particularly on the part of silver and gold. And silver I've so often described as a high beta version of gold in terms of its performance. Now, one of the reasons why silver is so volatile and gold has become more volatile is because of investment stroke speculative demand. And so people chase in and they chase out again. Fairly quickly. We see less of that. We see some of it in the industrial metals, but less of it generally overall. Incidentally, copper is up here again today. I really have been shoving up my stop on that. It's been a blistering performance. Unfortunately, not a surprise over here at Fuller Money, as you'll be aware. And now, in other precious metals, palladium had a good day in here, had a good day yesterday. This is very much the laggard within the sector overall, but it gets its periodic catch-up moves of a sort, and one appears to be underway here right now. Platinum's had a good day here as well, but gold and silver gave up their gains, as I mentioned to you. And oil prices. Well, what's interesting is that we have quite a spread between the crude oil, NYMEX crude oil, and that's last trading, for instance, at 62.07. That's up 18 cents. And if I go to the Brent crude traded here in Europe, that's last at 67.78, so over $5 or $5.50 higher. That's the biggest variation that I've ever seen there. The only thing I can attribute that to is that with the cycle in the United States of partial shutdowns of refiners. Particularly the refiners making the gasoline, that has meant for less demand for crude here in the United States, and that less demand for crude has meant that there hasn't been sufficient spare capacity, and that's kind of leaning on the price short term, whereas Europe has a somewhat different cycle in terms of refinery closures, as I suspect at any rate from this evidence, and that therefore we have seen gasoline moving up in the US, but crude has come back following the political concern by the or caused by the Iranian crisis situation, or the Iranian hostage situation. It wasn't really much of a crisis, but that is now over, as you know, and so crude has given up that premium, predictably. And in Europe, we see the greater demand here for crude right now. Now, what that means is, as those U.S. refiners come back on stream fully, we will probably see crude prices push up and gasoline prices come down a bit. But overall, energy prices are on the way back up. But it'll be, in terms of crude oil, there'll be plenty of ranging along the way. And I think that's pretty much it. So I'll just sign off and say all the best to all of you.